Did you know that Monterey Bay Aquarium is a very beautiful place? I don't know if any of you have gone there. Since we've been here, my family, we've gone there 3 times because we decided to make a membership there. And, you know, we're Chinese. We got to get our money's worth. And so we make sure that we try to go there as often as we can. And we have this routine when we go there. When we go there, we usually take our same route. The first route we hit is the route where it's on the first floor. I forgot what exhibit is. My kids love it. And we often go there. It's next to the bathroom. And then we go there, and then after that, we take this route, and then we begin to go through the jellyfish. I mean, well, we all love the jellyfish, just this dark room. And then you see these jellyfish, and, you know, life as a jellyfish is pretty cool, isn't it? It's pretty chill. They're just kind of, yeah, I mean, I think of it, and I go, man, that's a great life to live, isn't it? It's living your life and just letting just chill and is moving. And then we go into the deep. I love Into the Deep exhibit. Because you know why? I see tuna fish. As a fisherman, I look at it and I say, man, I wonder what it would be like if I had my fishing rod and drop in there and try to catch one of these tuna fish. I could visualize the amazing fight. And then all of a sudden, my kid's favorite one is when they see the sharks. Da-da-da-da. They're looking at the sharks and the sharks are going, they go, whoa, wow. You know, but there's another group of fishes that most people don't really care about, right? They're usually in a big pile. They're the sardines, right? You see these sardines, and they're often in the school of fish, and they're often all moving in the same direction, and they're often kind of rolled up in a ball and bunched up together, right? We see it, and most of us don't look at it, but they're very interesting fishes, right? They're small, and you see them in the ocean, and there's this, you have sharks, and you have, you know, tuna, and all these other fishes. They're basically, they're predator. They're the ones that eat those little fish. But somehow, you see these little fish, and they all kind of swim together in the same direction, right? Sardines have interesting habits. They swim together in the same direction, and they always remain in the school, right? Because they know if you don't swim in the same direction, you're going to get lost. They know that if you're not within the school, you're going to be in danger. And for the sake of their survival, they swim together. And, you know, when a predator comes, they often twirl together in a giant ball. And somehow, because when they twirl together in a giant ball, because I guess fishes don't have good eyesight, they think that it's a giant fish, so they don't attack it. Right? So they swim together in this giant ball because they know that in order for survival to take place, you just got to be a school of fish that swims together. I think sometimes we as Christians are a lot like sardines. And what I mean by that is we often can naturally just follow the beat of togetherness. And sometimes we're so greatly impacted by the society around us that we just kind of go with the flow with whatever society tells us that we need to have and what we need to do. And sometimes we as Christians, we can be like sardines in that we have this kind of isolated and insulated perspective. Is that we think that outside is dangerous, and we got to remain in the church to be safe. In fact, when we think about churches today, the church today now isn't an open door, but it is a shut door, and it is a walled-off community. The church can naturally be a place where Christians come and hide, that Christians come and associate with each other and keep the dangerous world outside. Right? That can very naturally happen in churches today. And sadly, I believe that a lot of churches suffer through this mentality. Because by closing off the door and by isolating ourselves, we forget one of the most important things that we need to do is to be like Jesus. And Jesus tells us very clearly that when he came into this world, that he was on a mission. And not only was he on a mission, his mission, he says, is also our mission. In fact, our sermon series, Deeply Rooted, we've been going through this series about how you and I can grow deep roots so that we can be fruitful Christians. We first started off our sermon series by saying that we need to grow deep roots in Jesus. Because, I mean, he's the source, and we got to be tapped in. If we're not tapped in to the source, then you and I can't be fruitful. We also said that we need to be deeply rooted in the Holy Spirit. Because if we're not deeply rooted in the Holy Spirit, then you and I will have a limited capacity and able to experience all the fullness of the depth of God's love. We also said that you and I need to be deeply rooted in the church. because we need the church. We are a part of the church because we need this intentional community to belong to. This week, I'd like for us to explore and examine how you and I can be deeply rooted in his mission. Let's take a look at John chapter 17, verses 13 through 23. It reads, verse 13, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them for me." Verse 15. "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth, and your word is truth. And you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For then I sanctify myself, and that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me, then even as you have loved me." What a powerful passage. And we picked up right really in the middle of Jesus' prayer. To kind of give you a little background, what's happened. This is Jesus' prayer right after the Passover meal, before he got arrested. So this is his prayer. And his prayer, he is praying his heart for the disciples. Because when we pray, we really pray what's in our heart, right? When we're struggling, we're really praying what's in our heart. So in this prayer, Jesus is praying the depths of his heart for his disciples. And not only for his disciples, but for the disciples to come. And in this prayer, Jesus basically says, listen, my prayer for them is this, God, that you do not take them out of this world. Because very easily, as Christians, we can just naturally huddle together, be around like-minded people, and just kind of isolate ourselves from this world. In fact, there are certain Christian groups that believes that this is the way to live their life. That we just have our own Christian community and we just exclude the world. The world's polluted, dirty, we want absolutely nothing to do with it. But Jesus says that his prayer for his believers is not to take them out of the world, but they are to live in the world, just as he lived in the world. And so when we begin to understand this passage, we begin to see the powerful prayer of Jesus telling us this, that he desires for his disciples to be sent out into the world as he was sent out into the world. And so here's the part that most of us as Christians forget, that just as God the Father sent the Son now has sent us into the world. Because why? Because when Jesus came into this world, he had a mission. And that mission was pretty clear and simple. It is to bring people back to the Father. And he did this very simply. He did this by being incarnational, by being with people, by revealing the heart of the Father through the way that he lived. And we saw that very clearly because Jesus invited people into his life. He traveled wherever he went and he invited people into his life. He ate with a lot of people. He ate so much that the Pharisees were saying, that's all you guys do. All you guys do is eat with people. And not only eat with people, but you eat with the wrong people. Right? That's all Jesus did. And he invited people into his life, and we begin to see this beautiful picture of what it means for us to be sent. Because when we say that Jesus has a mission, and his mission should be our mission, what we're really saying is that you and I, if we want to be like Jesus, then his mission has to be our mission. But when we look at our church today, and we look at churches today, this is a lost part of Jesus' heart for his disciples. Because when it comes to his mission being our mission, we often kind of sweep that on the side. We say, well, that's the job of the church organization, right? We said the church needs to have more events and more outreach events so that we can reach out to people. What we're really saying is the church, the pastor needs to be the one doing the evangelism. That the leaders of the church needs to be the one doing the outreach. What we're basically saying is that, hey, That's not my responsibility. But what Jesus' prayer for his disciples is that just as God the Father sent him, he says, we are also now sent out like him. In order for Jesus' mission to be a part of our life, we have to recognize, first and foremost, this is a part of the Great Commandment. That if we want to be obedient to Jesus, this is a part of the obedience in which you and I need to live out. It's not an option. And here's the scary thing. We believe that sharing our faith and being a witness for Jesus is an option. Somehow, I guess maybe lost in translation, from the day that we got saved and to the day that we started going to church consistently, somehow the mission of Jesus became excluded out of our life. We either believe that it's too hard, it's only for spiritual people, and we just somehow naturally kind of exclude it. But if you and I are a disciple of Jesus, because guess what? This prayer wasn't just for the disciples then. It wasn't just for the 12, because he also adds on to all those who else would believe. And by adding on that, basically he's saying, like, listen, if you believe in me, my mission needs to be your mission. Right? So we know, okay, Pastor, yeah, you're right. We understand that we need to be on missions for you, for Jesus. But most of us get confused what that means. I think the reason why most of us don't do it is because we feel that it's too hard. Right? We go, well, I don't know too much about the Bible, Pastor. I don't know what to say to the people. Right? Or I just don't have time. But let me frame it for you this way. To be on missions for Jesus is not as hard as you and I think. To be on mission with Jesus, it really requires a reorientation and alignment of our life to his mission. Right? To align our life to it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you and I need to stop whatever we're doing and go to Africa. I know some of us are a little afraid to go to Africa, but just, you know, Africa's a pretty cool place. I've been there. It's a pretty cool place. And don't worry, God's not going to call you to Africa in order for you to be on missions for Jesus. To be on missions for Jesus, we have to realize that there are places and spaces that only you and I have access to. I'll say that again. To be on missions for Jesus means that there are places and spaces that only you and I have access to. That is the sentness of God, that God has sent us into that space. Why? The places and spaces that we have access to is called our own social circle. Now, unless you are a hermit or a monk, you have a social circle. Who are your circle? Social circle? Well, the neighbors that you live around, that's your social circle. The workplace that you're in, that is your social circle. The friends that you have, that is your social circle. That is your set place that God has sent us to, that only you have access to. And that is the sentence that God has sent you. And so there is a destination that God has sent you to, and that is in your social circles. But in your social circles, we have to really begin to change our posture a little bit. Because most of us, when, you know, our posture when it comes to our faith and our walk with God is that we have a posture of being in silos. I don't know if you know what silos are. Silos are, if you've ever been to a farm, you see these giant containers on the side, right? They're like tall, circular thing. And that's kind of the storage place in which they store their harvest, their grain and stuff extra. And you go to farms, they're all, there's different places. Now, these silos aren't connected to the main place. You go to them because it's isolated. This is kind of separate. That's not the main thing. And like I can suggest to you, the reason why you and I have a hard time doing missions is because we're still living our life in silos. And what I mean by that is our lives are so compartmentalized. This is my work life. This is my church life. This is my school life. This is my relational life. And everything of these parts are not interconnected. They're just separated. And so when they're separated, guess what? We get to choose when we want to access those. And when we choose what we want to access those by living a silo life, guess who's the Lord? You are. You are the Lord of your life and the master of your own domain. But when we live that lifestyle, it's in contrast to who the Lord really is. And so, therefore, no longer we need to realign. So if Jesus is the Lord, then how do we look at our social spaces and our social circles? We need to begin to realign. The first and foremost is that God is already at work in those social spaces. That God is at work there, and he's inviting us to join in. And in order for us to join in, we just simply need to respond to what God is doing and be a witness. Do you know what a witness is? A witness just simply gives an account of what they've seen and what they've experienced. That's a witness, right? And isn't that what Jesus told us we need to be? That we are to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That we are to be his witness. And to be his witness simply is to share our experience of who God is and of what we know about God. Right? But guess what? You know you can't be a witness without witness. I'll say that again. You cannot be a witness without witness. And what I mean by witness, you can't witness to people if you're not with them. Right? I mean, that makes, you know, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. Yeah, that's true. You cannot be a witness without witness. Right? And so if you and I want to be a witness, and what do we witness? We just simply witness the story of God in our life. Right? And by the way, all of us have very powerful stories in our walk with God. Because if you don't, then I would say, you just maybe need to go a little deeper with the Lord. Right? And so if we have stories of God, our experiences with God, we have more than enough knowledge and information to share with people. Because we're a witness. Ultimately, every one of us believe God is the one that does the saving, but we're the one that does the sharing, communicating. And so we have a story in us. We have experiences of God. We have encounters with God. And so we are to be witnesses of that to the people in our social spaces. This is what it means to be sentness. And if you and I look at the life of Jesus, this is exactly what he did. Right? He was sent by God the Father to be a witness by witness. He shows the disciples this way of living. And what does the disciples do? They become his witness through witness. Right? We see the disciples, wherever they went, what did they do? They were a witness of the power of Jesus in their life, wherever they went. And so for you and I, what, you know, like I said, God didn't call everyone to go to Africa, right? God didn't call everyone to go overseas, but God has called everyone into our social circle and spaces. Because that is a space in which only you can access. And when we access, and when we're in those places, we have to be a witness. First, through witness. How do you be with people? Most of us don't know how to be with people. Because, let's be honest, we're too busy enjoying the convenient community of church. True community is intentional. And so it will require an intentionality on our part as we're with our social circle. How do you share life with people? Right? People laugh at me. I think people laugh and people laugh at me and with me. But did you know that eating is a very spiritual act? Eating is a very powerful act because by the sheer fact when we eat with someone, we say, you're not my enemy, you're my friend. Right? For those of you who know basketball and remember the days of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, you know these two hated each other's guts. They were shooting a commercial one day, and then they were still hating each other. And then Larry Bird's mom invited Magic Johnson to dinner, and they ate together. And after that meal, that's where their friendship formed, because they began to say, they saw each other in a radically different light than they did on the basketball court, because out of their competition, they hated each other. But after they ate, they realized they weren't enemies. Because that is the power of eating with someone. That we make a statement and say, you're not my enemy, but we are now friends. Such a powerful spiritual statement. Now, we're people. Like, I used to tell people, like, hey, listen, you got to eat, right? When it's lunchtime at work, you got to eat too, right? So maybe sometimes you say, hey, you got to eat, I got to eat. We both brought our lunch. Let's go sit down together and chat. That's witnessing with witness. The other part, too, is if we want to be a witness through witness, then that basically means that you and I need to be intentional in inviting people into our life. Our biggest mistake when it comes to evangelism is we often invite people into church first without inviting them into our life. And somehow we're hoping that the church will have a nice big evangelistic meeting, the pastor will talk to them and somehow speak some sense to them, and they'll be saved. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't work that way. That doesn't work. It does not work that way. Because people want you to invite them into your life first. Because as you invite them into your life, you tell them the story of God in your life, you're already witnessing, my brothers and sisters. You're already telling them the gospel. And so you and I, we need to be intentional about inviting people into our life before we invite them to church. So that they can see you. You don't even need to say a word about God to witness. Just on how you interact with them, they will see the story of Christ in your life. Just by your presence, people can feel the story of Christ in you. Because you know why? Because you and I are different. Not in a funny way. Not in a strange way. We are different because there's a glow on us. I don't know about you, but I shine very brightly. Right? I'm lit up like a Christmas tree when people see me. Because the story of God is at work in my life. And when the story of God is in my life, God is present in my life. I'm lit up like a Christmas tree. The glory of God is radiating off of me because God is with me. As God is with me, God is also with you. The story of God has been working in your life. God has been revealing himself in your light. And when that happens, you are lit up as a Christmas tree. And so by your presence, when you walk around, there's light shining in the darkness. Yeah, your workplace may be gloomy and dark, and there's a lot of pollen. Guess what? When you walk in, there's light that shines there. When you walk in your neighborhood, maybe your neighborhood's terrible, whatever. Maybe you have bad neighbors. When you're present, the light of God shines because God is with you. And by your shared presence, you are witnessing with witness. And there may be a time when God's going to say, you need to invoke my name. There may be a time. And that is when we do. Because God is already at work. Here's the premise that we have to begin to realize. That God loves the world so much that he's already in work. In the world. And he's inviting us to join in. By being a witness. Through witness. And that's how we can be on missions with Jesus. Because all of us have our social circles and spaces. All of us. If you're not, you know, we need to talk, okay? We got to work through some of that soul stuff, because that's probably causing you why not to have a social circle, okay? But all of us have a social circle. All of us have spaces that only you and I can access. And that is our mission. That is our mission. There's a reason. Please forgive me when I say this. There's a reason why our church is in decline. I know it's a statement that most of us don't want to hear, and you may feel that I'm being judgmental. I'm just being realistic. Not judgmental, realistic, because why? You know, when churches go through the stuff that our church have gone through, it creates a very depressing atmosphere. It creates a very discouraging atmosphere. Sometimes it can be quite toxic when a church goes through crises and conflicts. It's very painful. It causes us to not believe and people leave and things like that. Our church has gone through that. The other part, too, that our church has gone through is that we've forgotten how to be a witness. Right? By the way, did you know there are really two major reasons why a church closed? Through conflicts and causes a toxic environment. And the other part, when a church is not willing to change. Always looking back at the old way of doing things. And so people may say, well, that's God's will. Let me address that question, that it is not God's will for any church to close. Because by saying that it's God's will for a church to close, it's basically saying it's God's will for the church to be toxic, to live in conflict. By saying that it's God's will when a church closes, it's saying that it's God's will for us as Christians to not be on missions for Jesus. And I don't know about you, but isn't there like a Bible verse that says something? Oh yeah, there is. It's called Ephesians chapter 4. Or chapter 5, where Christ himself laid down his life for the church. Whoa. So no, it's not God's will for a church to die and close. Because God loves the church. And so he's giving us this invitation to be on this beautiful journey. We forget this. God is at work in the world. You know how much pressure that takes off of you? That God is at work in the world. Oh my goodness, when I hear that, I go, oh, that's, I don't need to be smart. I don't need to be capable. I don't need to be cunning. I don't need to have any social skills because God is at work. God is at work. God is the one that is doing things, manifesting himself, showing people that he is real. He just needs somebody to give a voice to that. Whew. That takes off so much pressure on me. And I feel like, whoa. Right? Doesn't that take so much pressure off you? God is at work. He just needs us to be his witness through our witness. And that is how you and I can be deeply rooted. That's how you and I are going to bear fruit. And that really is how you and I, as a church, will begin to see God bring fruitfulness to our church. It is through our witness. Because if we are witnesses, I don't know how you can witness when you're just staying home by yourself and locking yourself in just a nice little world where nobody has access to. We cannot. And I just want to tell you that actually, to be a witness for Jesus through witness, it is so much fun. I'm serious. It is so much fun to be a witness for Jesus through our witness. It's so much fun. You know why it's so much fun? Because your life is actually pretty fun. You know, I know some of you may feel that way. You know, you're trapped in a job. No, don't worry about that stuff. Your life is actually pretty fun. If not, we got to talk. We got to get underneath the soul stuff there because that's why you're not having fun. Your life is actually very fun. And when we're with God, who's at work in the world, and we're witnessing God with through our witness, it's actually very fun because we get to meet people. We get to talk to people. And I know some of us are a little bit antisocial, a little introverted. It's okay. I'm an introverted, and I think introverters are the most smartest people and the coolest people because we have depth through our conversation. Just saying. That's just me. Right? All of you extroverts. Hey, it's all good. It worked for you. It won't work for me. It's all good. Right? But, yes, I'm an introvert, and I'm very afraid of those things too. But what I've come to discover is that when I'm being a witness through my witness, I have a lot of fun. Because I'm not really taking out time from my life schedule. I'm just naturally a part of my rhythm, right? I'll give you an example. You all know Florence. I call her almost kind of like the matriarch because she's our oldest governing board member, and she's been at this church since the beginning, and then some, right? You know, every time when Florence shares about her day, I go, there goes Florence's missionary journey. Because, you know, Florence has an obligation, right? You know what her obligation is? She got grandchildren, right? She got grandchildren. She got to take the grandkids to school. I take my kids to school in the morning. It's like pulling teeth and nail. Yeah, I get them out of bed. We got to rush them out of the house and then drop them off to school and all that. It's like chaos. But somehow here's Florence. She's able to drop them off and she's able to talk to people, right? People always ask. Maybe it's that grandmotherly look that she's got. Everybody's always asking for advice or what to do. And she begins to naturally talk to people. You know, there's this light that illuminates from her, and people somehow are drawn to that. I don't know, you know, that, right? It's just drawn to her, and what does she do? She just talks to them, shares with them, and then she says, oh, you know, you need to learn better English. Our church have an English program. You want to come? And you know why they come? Not because our church has an ESL program. Our church's ESL program just began, so we're not, like, polished yet. But they come. Why? Of Florence, because Florence is there. And through that, Florence begins to invite them and introduces to a few more people in our church. And we learn to begin to have witness through our witness. Or maybe you're like me. Your life is busy and it's tough. And you're having a hard time to figure out, like, what, how is God working in my life? You know, I'm a pastor, by the way. If you didn't know pastors, it's like a lifetime sentence in the church. You know, most of our time we spent with Christians. It's very scary, you know. I realize it's very scary spending all my time with Christians. Because my mind begins to be dull. Not because of Christians. I love you guys. You guys are amazing. It's because I will lose my understanding in how to be a witness through my witness. Not because I spend all my time with Christians. Right? Now, I can say to God, when I time come the great white throne, hey, God, you call me to be a pastor, not a missionary. Right? You call me to be a pastor, so I'm supposed to be with my sheep. And you know what God's going to say to me? Oh, don't be silly. I need to be a witness too. Right? And I've been struggling, really, when I came here, because when I was living in Long Island, I had a large witnessing group. It was through Figs, right? I had a large, grown, thick community. And that was my space for my witness with people so that I can witness. And here I am. I'm out here in San Jose, and we've been here about 7 months. And I'm trying to figure out, my God, I mean, listen, I'm at church every day. I'm working with Christians. I want to meet non-Christians. I'm scratching my head. I'm trying to figure out what should I do. And all of a sudden, on Friday, I got a text from one of my Fig friends, and he says, Ron, have you started a Fig group out here yet? And I said, no, I have not. And he said, why not? And then it just hit me like God slapping me across my head. There's your opportunity, dummy. And so, you know, I've been chatting with a person who's in the Bay Area who's growing figs, and I texted him. I said, hey, you think it would be good if we had like a local group in the Bay Area for fig growers? Yeah, that would be a great idea. I said, so you want to help me out with this? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm OG. I don't know anything about tech. I said, don't worry. I got you. So all you need to do is invite people and contribute. Right? And I said, sure. And so I decided to start this group on Facebook. Yes. I know for some of you younger guys, like, you guys, you're so lame on Facebook stuff. Definitely boomers who do that. And so, yeah, okay, all right. You know, I'm on Facebook, and I got this Facebook group called Bay Area Figs, right? And in 24 hours, there's about 77 people who join, right? And I realized this is going to be my group that I'm going to be witnessing to through my witness. Now, figs is a passion of mine. I enjoy growing figs. I'm not doing something that's out of my normal life, but I'm doing it with people. Some of us have hobbies, right? Some of us, time that we like to enjoy, we enjoy a lot. It's not extra effort. But instead of doing it by yourself, have you consider the withness part? Inviting people into that so that you can be a witness. And so really, when you think about being deeply rooted in Jesus' missions, it's not actually as hard as you and I think it is. It's actually quite simple. It doesn't take extra time. It doesn't require you to create extra things. It just requires for us to be intentional. There's that word again. It requires for us to be intentional. To intentionally put our space in the crossroad in which God is at work. And here it is. If we do, watch God do some amazing things. I can tell you countless stories in how I see God do amazing things simply because I put myself in the crossroad of what God was doing in the world. It's beautiful. And you're witnessing for the Lord. I don't know where you are at. And maybe you're struggling because you think it's so hard. Or maybe you're struggling because you feel like you have no story. Maybe you're struggling because you feel like you have no words. Maybe you feel that it's a personal capability thing. I just want to tell you, it's not a capability thing. You guys are very smart people here. It's not a capability thing. Or maybe you're saying your life is too busy. Trust me, your life isn't that busy. It's busy, don't get me wrong. But it's not that busy. You don't need to do anything extra out of your life. What I'm trying to say is, you actually don't need to do anything extra out of your life. Just need to be intentional in withness. Because by being intentional in withness, guess what? There's a light that shines in you. And that's going to illuminate. You know why it's going to illuminate? People look at you like, you different. Not in a funny way, but you're different. In a very good way. Because you don't act like people they've been around with. The words that you speak, the things that you do, they're going to say, you're different. And when they know that you're different, they want to spend a little more time with you because they get enough of that toxic stuff around, elsewhere, right? They want to spend a little more time with you. Because, you know, I don't know if you've been around beautiful people. And what I mean, like, you know, facially, I'm talking about the spirit. When you're around beautiful people with this spirit, it's just contagious, isn't it? That's us to the world. So if there's a fear part, we can work on that. We can examine your inner world to help you overcome that. But what I want to encourage you today is that to be on his mission, to grow deep roots in his mission, isn't as hard as we make it to be. It's right there, actually. We just need to step in. God has already pretty much aligned all the things ready for you to just step in. That's all we need to do, to step in and to respond to God when he tells us to. Let us pray. Lord, we give thanks to you for who you are. And we confess, Lord, that we've been confused a little bit about what our life purpose is. We think and believe in the past that being on missions with you was either optional or too hard. But we come to realize today, Lord, that it's not. And so, God, we ask that you will awaken our heart and open our eyes to see what you're doing so that we begin to comprehend and see. In Jesus' name we pray. Before we jump into the response song,